The reading today is Galatians 5, 16 to 26, Life by the Spirit. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is joy, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying in each other. This is the word of the Lord.
So, obviously, because it's Pentecost, we're doing something on the Spirit. But we're doing a passage that you might be surprised for me to do today. I mean, we have done Acts 2 on Pentecost, haven't we? We've done, well, maybe we haven't actually, but 1 Corinthians 12, the gifts of the Spirit, that lovely list of supernatural gifts. And today I just felt it'd be really good if we looked at the fruits of the Spirit. So you get this wonderfully challenging passage. So this is written by Paul. He's writing to the Galatians, the early Christians in Galatia. Galatia would now be Turkey. Okay? And it's a sort of challenging passage, isn't it? It sort of confronts humanity head on. And some of you may think, whoa, there was a list. And it's a great list of things that we wouldn't want to do, but equally a great list of things that we might want to do. So if you turn back a page, and we will look at this passage another week, but if you turn back a page to Galatians 5:1, you will see it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Jesus came that we could be set free. And yet, isn't it a battle? Isn't it a battle to get free of all the stuff that we have in our lives that traps us? So, back into our passage, verse 13, we're called to be free because we're called to serve each other in love. But yet our human nature, that was here called the sinful nature. In the modern translation, it's called the flesh. It seems to stop us, doesn't it, operating? Because we have a selfishness, a self-orientatedness. And in another translation, which I'll read you a bit of in a minute, called the Passion Translation, it calls this the self-life. Now, each one of us has a duty to look after ourselves, to love ourselves, and care about ourselves. And that often is a very difficult thing to do anyway, and we do get ourselves into a trouble with that one. But if we can be allowing God, trusting God to look after us, we have time and room and energy to care about other people, which is what the Thy Kingdom Come is all about. It's caring about people coming to know Jesus. And if you look at verse 17 here, it says, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other. so that you are not to do whatever you want. That's a strange way of putting it, isn't it? You do not do whatever you want. Paul says much the same thing in Romans 7, verse 19, for what I do is not the good I want to do, no, the evil I don't want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, I don't know if that rings any bells in you, but you know, it does in me. It's like, oh, whoops, why did I do that? Why did I say that? Why didn't I do that? I could have blessed that person, but I didn't. Because I was worrying about something in me and all of that. And maybe it's much deeper than that. Because it is a battle, isn't it? There's a spiritual battle going on between the forces of good and the forces of evil. So how many times do you think, gosh, I maybe haven't read the Bible for a little while? That's not a question you have to answer, but you know. Maybe I watched something on TV that wasn't blessing the Lord when I watched it. Maybe it was a program that the Holy Spirit wouldn't have wanted me to watch. Maybe I haven't phoned this friend. I haven't got in touch with them, sent them an email or a text or whatever. Just simply, we get distracted, don't we? Because there is a war going on in our souls. And the world these days is very, very insistent that we pay attention to it. So all the modern stuff, which is that dreadful term, social media, see if you can get through a whole day without hearing the word social media. It's quite hard. If you have any sort of form of anything on, you will hear that word. And I think, well, I don't think it's very social. It seems very nasty to me. But there we are. It's used for all the wrong things half the time. But here we go. Back to Galatians. See, the same thing was going on here. You didn't need Twitter to behave like this. Or Twitter. That was a translation for you, Brock. Okay. Yeah. I knew you wouldn't understand otherwise. Yeah. Good. This is one heck of a list, isn't it? And it has three sexual sins, two demonic, but the sins against each other, number eight. Eight sins against each other. And then with an extra side order of drunkenness and the like. And I'm very interested in what the like might be, because that just appeals to my slightly warped sense of humor. I'm sure I may have had some of the like. I don't know. But I'm going to read this list from the Passion, which is a translation, as you might understand, is all about the heart. So then, here we go. If the cravings of the self-life are obvious. Sexual immorality, lustful thoughts, pornography, chasing after things instead of God, manipulating others, hatred of those who get in your way, senseless arguments, resentment when others are favored, temper tantrums, sure we don't have any of those, angry quarrels, only thinking of yourself, being in love with your own opinions, being envious of the blessings of others, murder, which doesn't seem to be there, uncontrolled addictions, wild parties, and here it just says, and all other similar behavior. And I'm reading that because actually it puts it into slightly more modern terms that maybe we can see that actually, you know, you might want to go back over this passage and just count up how many of those you might be doing, done, whatever. Because the bottom line is the horrifying thought that each one of us is capable of each one of those things. There isn't one of those that we're not capable of doing. And that is quite chilling, isn't it? That we can all do one or more of those things. Sometimes on a daily basis. Because that is us, unredeemed, really. But thankfully, we all of us have the Spirit of God in us if we've said yes to Jesus. And even if we haven't said yes to Jesus, we still have this thing that we call a conscience, which comes from God. So we all have hope. But also, if we've said yes to Jesus, we have been filled with the Holy Spirit, and we have another lovely list here, don't we? And this is called the fruit, not fruits. It's one fruit, many facets. The fruit of the Spirit. And it's quite a list as well. So I'll read these from the Passion. You've had them read to you already from here. The fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions. So all the rest of these, the other eight, are all expressions of God's love. So we start with love. Joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit. Which I quite like, because when the last one is written as self-control, which it is in most of the translations, it sends you sometimes, it does me anyway, into a sense of condemnation. Oh dear, I've got that wrong. Oh, I'm not being self-controlling. I could list off several things in which I could be more self-controlled than I am. Some are obvious, some are less obvious. And so I like the fact that in this, it's saying the actual word is lordship. It's a spirit strength. And I like that more because that's more hopeful, isn't it? That says I have a strength of spirit in me. And that is already in me, whether I get it wrong or not. So I would go with that rather than self-control. However, it's quite a list, is it not? So how do we get them? And how many do we have as sort of a natural facet of our personality? And how many do we have to maybe just try and allow God to pour into us a bit more? Okay? So there's two things there. What one do you think you already have? Or two, or you may have all nine of them. You never know. And which one do you maybe struggle with? So just turn to your neighbours and just tell each other that. So you've got literally a minute and a half. What's one I think I find easier? And what one am I struggling with? If you know the person you're sitting next to, you can maybe tell them what one you think they've already got. Yeah? So just turn to your neighbour and just... It's all right, you won't have to feed it back. So everybody has got one of those gifts, they think, maybe already? Yeah? You had all of them? I expect nothing less. So we look to these people over here as being the absolute paragons of virtue. Yep, the halo standing out. And what about one you might struggle with? We won't look at those, but what about one you might struggle with, the rest of us, ordinary mortals? You don't have to say, but could you identify one in your own hearts that actually you find harder? Patience is sometimes a tricky one, isn't it not? Yeah, that would be where I would be, really. But probably I'd be in lots of other ones as well, struggling away.
I have one, fear.
Fear. That's not in the list.
Oh, well.
But fear is the opposite of love. Mm-hmm. Because you can't carry fear and love at the same time. So that means you're deficient. I wouldn't say that of you, but you know. That is the way. Yeah. You operate out of fear or out of love. We don't usually do them both at the same time. They're two sides of a coin. Yeah? No, you disagree with me? It's in our behavior. In our behavior, if we're operating out of love, then we're giving usually without any fear. But if fear binds us up, it stops us from operating in love. They're not polar opposites, no. It's just behavioral. Yeah? Yes, that would also, of course. Yeah, bound to be.
You can do crime things even though you're fearful.
Yeah?
You can?
Yeah. But as a rule of thumb, fear will stop you. Fear of man, fear of what somebody might say, fear of all sorts of things stops you being loving and going out to people because you're more worried about what they are going to think about you. Yeah? So that's the context. Okay? Yeah. So, it's an interesting list, isn't it? And actually, the deeper you go, the harder some of them seem. So, the good news is that because Jesus died on the cross already, we already can have all of these. Yeah, we have them all somewhere deep down. We may not know that. because we are cleansed already, because we have resurrection life in us. So the same power that raised Jesus from the grave lives in you. Right now. You may not feel that. Doesn't matter. It's the truth. It does. And if you look at verses 24 and 25, Paul goes on to say that we have the power in us now to crucify ungodly passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Now that keep in step with the Spirit means that it's always ongoing, isn't it? So keeping in step, apparently physics says that in order to move forward, didn't know I was a scientist, did you? In order to move forward, there has to be some friction, apparently. I don't know why, I don't understand that bit, but apparently there does. So actually to move forward, so there has to be an intentional moving on, keeping in step with the Spirit. It doesn't just happen, we have to intentionally do it. And that's why the battle is joined, because the devil will have you go the other way. All right, and send you into all sorts of areas that are going to really be at war with the godly soul in you. So it's a battle. It's sort of our way or God's way, isn't it? And we are free because we have the power to choose. We have a mindset that we can set towards Jesus, or we can set towards gratifying all our own selfish passions and desires. Now that doesn't mean, and don't hear me here, this is not legalistic, that doesn't mean you shouldn't go out and have a good time. Of course you should. You know, those of us that like a good musical will enjoy going to see Les Miserables, won't we? Some of us see it more often than others. But we will enjoy it because it is a fantastic thing to do if you like that sort of thing. If you like a football match, depending which team you're supporting, you will have a good time or you won't. You know, recently it was Liverpool versus Tottenham. That was a problem up the road there. So, you know, because there's supporting different teams. So it's all relative, but we can all of us go out and have a really good time, and God loves that because he comes out with us and enjoys it too. So don't hear me in a legalistic way that I'm saying you shouldn't have a good time. But if you are fulfilling the natural person in you and having a really good time, then Jesus is there with you. If you're doing something that actually is taking you away from God, that's when we would call it ungodly passions and desires. Yes, everyone understanding that? So we're not into law here, but we do have a choice. We have a choice where we put our mind, because the battle is in the mind. It's always in the mind. Because we have to consciously try and use the fruits of the Spirit every way, every day, or unconsciously allow them to flow through us. So let's look at how Jesus says we will manage to do this. Okay, if you can throw up John, please. This is John 15. This is what Jesus says to us. He says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. So that's your gardening analogy, isn't it? Those of you that do the roses. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me as I also... remain in you. Yes? Keith's not making any, I think he's finished. Okay. Remain in me as I also remain in you, is the verse. Okay? So what he's saying is, look, it's a done deal. You have me in you. Oh, no, it's moved on. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And here's the real line we need to get. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That's quite hard, isn't it? Because clearly in our own nature, we can do lots of things. And there are many, many people who are doing great things in the world who are not identifying as Christians. So we do have it in us, in our own nature, to do great things. But Jesus is saying, if you want to be really fruitful, you've got to remain in him. And yes, it may hurt occasionally because bits may get chopped a little bit that aren't being fruitful, just like the gardening analogy. But actually, you need to remain in him. And the second thing we need to do, if you can have the next one, please, Keith. It's John 10. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. So we need to be listening to God's voice, Jesus' voice, because we are all sheep. Did you know you're a sheep? I don't mind being a sheep. I think sheep are fascinating, if a bit stupid. But I don't mind that. But we need to listen to his voice. So it's about, where is your mindset? If your mind is set on the next instalment of what's going to happen in EastEnders, for example, I have nothing against EastEnders, I just picked that out. If that's where your mind is going and that's what you're thinking about, then obviously there is no room in there really for Jesus, is there? If your mind is actually thinking about, you know, what's happening in the world today, where might I bless somebody? What could I do that would bring blessing to somebody? Then actually we might be able to make a difference. So we need to be listening to his voice, maybe praying in tongues, dialoguing with God, reading our Bibles, praying generally for all those whom we love, making it to church more often than not so that we can join together and encourage each other. And we need to be just tithing money, so money has no hold over us. We need to be showing love and caring about each other. And this is a caring church. People here really care. You know, I know that when people are poorly in this church, we pray for them. And we care. Because you see, the Holy Spirit is living in us. It's living in all Christians. And we have those supernatural gifts, don't we? We have the gift of faith, the gift of wisdom. Did you know wisdom is a supernatural gift from God? We're not talking about intellectual wisdom here. We're talking about spiritual wisdom, emotional wisdom. That is a gift from God. Speaking in tongues, of course, prophecy. Prophecy is about speaking out the word of God. That's all it is. It's that simple. And we have discernment, don't we? So that if you get on the tube, for example, I've said this before, you get on the tube, and you can sometimes sense when there's somebody there who's working in some sort of area that's not of God. Maybe it's a witchcraft thing. There's a lot of witches in this country, by the way, more than there are vicars. That's an interesting statistic, isn't it? 40,000, I think somebody was estimating not long ago. So I sometimes stand on the tube, and I'm just aware of some evil sense in somebody. And then I'm drawn to other people because I can see they have the eyes of Jesus, because their eyes are open and warm. So that is a discernment of spirits, evil spirits versus godly spirit. Yeah? And that's a gift. You receive it, as you do all gifts. You receive it. It's not because you're wonderful. It's because God's given you that gift. So the Holy Spirit allows us to grow in character. It allows us to grow in character. And the fact is, and we'll be looking at this in subsequent weeks, all of these things, the gifts of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and spirit strength, I've just changed it. They're all the facets of God. Because they're the gifts that we're given by the Holy Spirit, they're because they represent his character. So in the fruit of the Spirit, we become more like God, more like Jesus, because we're receiving the character of God into our hearts. So we'll be looking at the character of God and with some of these gifts in the next few weeks. Because it's not that we have to somehow make all these things happen in us. We are just receiving what's in God that he has given us through the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit, as you know, is part of the triune God, Jesus, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. So we have in us something much greater than us, which I find very humbling. So it's not about whether I'm any good at this, that, or the other. It's about the fact that God has seen fit to give me his nature. And that nature is what we want to get more and more like him, don't we? So I'm just going to say a couple of words as we sort of come to a close today, about kindness. Kindness is one of those things that we all have in us and we all do, don't we? And, you know, being kind to people that we don't like, kind to enemies, having a sweetness of disposition. Not always easy. Something I've had to really work on. Kindness, having a sweetness of disposition, showing love of God through your attitudes, through how you speak, what you say, through your way of life. Not wanting what other people have. So no envy, no ambition. Doesn't mean to say godly ambition isn't fine. Ambition is part of God, but ambition to be the person that God made you to be. Wanting to share with other people your money, your time, your energy. That's kindness, isn't it? It's a great word, kindness. And we do this in step with the Holy Spirit, bit by bit, as we journey on through our lives, don't we? I'm going to read you this passage. I've read it once before in this church, but I think not for some years. It is, it's one of my heroines, as you know, Heidi Baker, who's out there in Mozambique doing her thing. And it's a demonstration to me of the ultimate kindness. And having met her and spent time watching her minister, I'm sure this is absolutely the way it was. And this story comes from when she was here in London. She and her husband were in London. They went to King's. They both did a PhD in, I think, systematic theology, which when you are preparing to go and work with the poorest of the poor in the bush in Mozambique, you think, why would God have you do that? But he did. So while they were here, they went down onto the embankment, and they used to help people, of course. So this is a story of someone she met. I met a girl while preaching on the streets of London. To tell you this story, I will call her Jane. She was so angry that she basically hated everyone, especially men. She had been gang raped by 16 men. I mean, that doesn't bear thinking about, does it? She had to stay in the hospital for nearly a year with complications from a broken pelvis. She had no family or friends. She was tormented by hatred and demons, but I loved Jane. When I met Jane on the street, she was in her late 20s. Her hair was very short. She was wearing men's dress shoes and a man's dark suit that was several sizes too big. It took me a while to realize she was a woman. She had a stern, agitated appearance and was full of rage. She could not stand still even for a moment. I also made another friend. I'll call him Peter. Almost every single day for several years, they were here for at least 3 years, I would go to talk to Peter and bring him food. He would yell and tell me to go away and curse me. He did this for 2.5 years. With each curse, I thought how much this man needed love, kindness, and mercy. I kept bringing Peter potatoes and sandwiches. I refused to stop. Jesus is tenacious. He never stops loving, and he never stops giving. I just kept saying, I love you, Peter, and Jesus loves you. Sometimes Peter would take the food. Other times he would spit at me and throw it on the ground. But God's heart is relentless, and his radical love transforms the hardest of hearts. One night, Jane was so angry, she tried to beat me to death. She told me that she would slit my throat with a broken bottle that she was holding and to throw me into the River Thames to die. When she tried to strangle me, all I could feel was the pain and suffering in her heart. I felt God's heart for her. I tried to tell her, God is in love with you. You are precious. You are called to know his love. This made her angrier. Then Peter, who had been watching me get beaten the whole time, said he was calling the police. I told him the Lord did not want me to call them. Jane had already been thrown in jail many times, and I did not want her to suffer anymore. I just wanted her to know the love of Jesus. So Peter just screamed and cursed me again. Jane had the broken bottle, and she said she was going to rip open my face. I kept telling her again how beautiful she was and that I loved her. when I could not feel anything else. I remember praying, God, whatever you want to do, I just want your love to be known here. I felt so tired, I could not take any more pain. I told Jane, if you're going to kill me, you can just kill me, but I have to sit down. Just as I prayed, Peter came and rescued me. He grabbed me away from Jane, started sobbing, and then he said, for 2 years you told me Jesus loved me. Now I've seen his love and I want him. I want him now. You kept telling me about love, but today I've seen love. That night, Peter received Jesus as his Lord. We just held each other. Even in his alcoholic state, I just held him and thanked him for saving my life. We lay our lives down for love. We give our lives away. We cannot just love with our words. Love is in truth and in our actions. The following week, Jane came to my house with a dozen roses. She told me she was sorry for trying to kill me. And that day, she asked Jesus to live in her heart too. So I tell you that story because I think it's very moving. It's very extreme. Most of us are not in those situations, and we're maybe not called to be, but we are called to behave in the same way as Heidi did, to show that love, to demonstrate that kindness to people who aren't very lovable. And it's not easy. And in verse 14 of this chapter, it says, the entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself. And we all know that. So we can choose to walk in this spirit, this God spirit. We can choose consciously and pray that unconsciously we will also be doing this. By that I mean we don't have to be thinking about what we're doing. We're just doing it because we have the mind of God. If we stay in the vine, if we stay in Jesus, we develop more and more of God's character. And you know, I really, as I get older, as I move on with God, I just want all of these things. I'm greedy, I want all nine. And if I ever steer into the previous list, I want God to tell me straight away by the Holy Spirit so that I can go, ouch, and say, sorry, Lord, I didn't mean to do that, and come back again. And that may just be a slip of the tongue where I've said something that has hurt somebody. It can be very small or it could be very big. So let's just ask the Lord, shall we, for more of the Holy Spirit. We just pray now, come Holy Spirit. And just pray that we actually might be able to go on and become more and more like Jesus. That we can take the example of Heidi Baker, a woman called out in radical love. Let's just pray for those things we find difficult. So just invite you in a moment of quiet to just name that thing that you said you struggled with. Which one of those nine facets of the Holy Spirit you said you struggled with? Just name that before Jesus now. And just picture him on the cross in front of you right now. So just invite him to come into your heart and help you with that area that you find difficult with the fruit of the Spirit. Just invite him to help you on a daily basis, a minute-by-minute basis. Say, come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we recognize that this is a battle. Lord, we know that we can't do this without your help. So we ask you to show us your way, not our way. Just come, Holy Spirit, and fill each one of us. And we just pray that you will speak to each one of us now. So just open your heart, expand your heart as the Pope Francis said, just expand your heart to receive the word of God into your mind. So just allow a thought to come from God into your mind. Because I believe God is speaking to a number of people right now. Words of encouragement, words of love. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But I also think some of you may be hearing words coming from the person who doesn't encourage us, the devil. Maybe you're feeling, that's too much for me. That's an ideal, I can't get to that. I'll never be able to carry the fruit of the Spirit in me like that. So if that's what you're, any version of that that you're feeling, we just say, that is not from God. And we put that down at the foot of Jesus. So if you're feeling that, you can hear that in your heart, just in your mind's eye, just put it down at the feet of the cross, feet of Jesus at the cross. That is what the cross is for, that we can give everything that's not of Jesus. Just pop it down there and say, Jesus, I'm giving you that. That's not your voice. I want to hear your voice right now. So we say, come, Lord, and speak to us. Speak to us afresh. Come, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. But what God is saying to me is to encourage you, to tell them to tell you that God is saying he wants to encourage each one of you, that each one of you has so much more than you know. You are carrying so many more of the fruits of the Spirit and so much more depth than you are aware of. Because he is molding us, he's growing us into becoming the people he made us to be, the individuals he made us to be. We're all totally different. We're all unique. So God is encouraging us to receive these gifts because we have his Spirit. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So try and keep that voice away from you that says, I'm not good enough to receive. So just open out your hands of where you sit right now. Just encourage you if you want to just open out your hand and say, Lord, I'm receiving that gift right now. That gift of your fruit of your Spirit right now. Just say, Lord, come, Holy Spirit. Just come and fill me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So I just have a picture in my mind's eye of a little cloud. And it's hovering over each one of us. And we feel that if it's going to be a cloud, then it's going to give us rain and we need our umbrellas up. But the Lord is saying, no, you don't need an umbrella because this is a rain cloud full of the Holy Spirit. So we need to put our umbrellas down. Because putting up an umbrella stops us receiving from God in this picture. So Jesus is just saying, let my rain come, let it pour over you. Let it pour over you. Because I died that you might know this love. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So just let him come, fill you. Give you a word of encouragement, word of blessing. So just stay in this attitude of prayer for another second or two.